Now's a time when things are shifting. There's gonna be a new world order out there. And we've got to lead it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is End Time Headlines. It is the 23rd of May, and it is about halfway past the 12 p.m. Eastern time zone or time frame here in my neck of the woods. We want to welcome you to the broadcast today. If this is your first time joining us on whatever platform you may be joining us from, let us know in the comment section below that you are new to the broadcast and where you guys are joining us from. I've got a heavy word that I want to deliver to you over this past weekend. This is something in my devotional time, in my quiet time, in my studying, looking at everything that's going on. I really heavily weighed this out before I chose to come on here publicly and declare to you what I'm about to talk about today. I believe, according to Scripture, there is three things that are simultaneously happening right now that are all indicators that we are experiencing and we are witnessing the judgment of God. I know this is going to be a very strong message today. This is not going to be a message that's going to be echoed by any means by most of your predominant mega churches. It's not going to be echoed by most Christian television networks. It's not going to be echoed by most of your television evangelists, period, because most of them will avoid any kind of a discussion like this. And let's just be honest, a lot of the church has completely discredited anything that is a negative connotation, especially when it comes to the topic that we're going to talk about right now. So let's get after this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 and 11. We're going to show you a lot of scripture today. I'm not going to pull this one up because it's a lot, but we'll pull up other scriptures and you can follow along with us. 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 11. Moreover, brethren, I'm going to give you a little bit of a backdrop on this. This is written to the church of Corinth. It's written by the Apostle Paul. And I want you to listen what he says here. He gives them a little history lesson. And then he tells them and explains to them why he spoke this to them, or he wrote this in his letter, rather. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all of our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. So who's he referring to here? The children of Israel that was led out of Egyptian bondage through the wilderness and eventually into the promised land. He goes on and says, they all ate the same spiritual food and they all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Christ was present even back then. For they drank, or verse 5, now listen to this. But with most of them, God was not well pleased. Somebody say, God was not well pleased. For their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. And now these things became our examples. So again, the Apostle Paul gives them a history lesson on, watch this, those who were led out by him, delivered by him, and led by Moses, who God raised up to lead them out of bondage, captivity, sin. Are you listening to me? And then and then led them through the wilderness where he provided with manna from heaven, water from a rock, a cloud by day, a fire by night, supernatural interventions, angelic assistance. He parted the Red Sea. He drowned their enemies in the sea, and he led them into the promised land. But in the process, a lot of people didn't make it. And what? Listen what he says. And he tells us those that didn't make it and what happened to them became our examples. So listen to this. To the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as were some of them. Let me talk about evil things and idolatry. In case you don't understand this, lusting after evil things is having a desire to partake of things that God calls wicked, abominable, evil, sinful. The writers of the New Testament said things done in secret. Evil, Romans chapter 1 says evil inventions and the inventors of evil things, things done in the stealth of secrecy that cannot even be named, they're so wicked. Lusting after evil things. And then he says, do not become like many of them and become idolaters. Idolatry is when we replace the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We replace Yahweh, Elohim, El Shaddai, Jehovah, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Shema, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Sikkenu. We replace the Lord Jesus Christ with anything else as the seat of authority in our lives, whether that be a false god, a false deity, a hobby, money, wealth, fame, prestige, whatever it is. Come on, somebody say evil things and idolatry. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor, listen to this, nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell. Sexual immorality is an umbrella term for all kinds of things that God calls calls fornication, adultery, homosexuality, come on somebody, sodomy, pornography, bestiality. All these are under the umbrella of sexual immorality. And because they partook of those things, because they practiced those things, God brought judgment. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now listen to verse 11. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition. Now listen to this. Now somebody will say, well, that was just the children of Israel. That doesn't apply to us as Gentiles or here in America. Friend, I'm going to show you that it absolutely does. Read the next part here. Listen, now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition. Listen to this, upon whom the end of the ages have come. Now I'm just getting started. Let me pull up some more scriptures here. Let's go. We're going to continue in the New Testament. Now we know, according to Matthew chapter 24, verses 7 and 8, Jesus said two of the three things that are happening right now are mentioned in Matthew chapter 24, verses 7 and 8. And he says there will be famines and pestilences, which are the beginning of sorrow. Somebody say famines and pestilences. Famines and pestilences. And the reason why I chose this scripture, because you will discover in the Bible that there's two words that interchange with one another in their definition, and that is pestilences and plagues. Somebody say pestilences and plagues. So in essence, all three are really here: famines, pestilences again, and plagues. Now, let me pull this back here, and I'm going to, in the Bible, we see over and over again, through, especially in the Old Testament, where pestilence is presented and typically indicates a sign of God's judgment upon a nation. And listen to me, not only is it pestilence or quote plague, but also famine is present. Watch this. Isaiah, let me pull this up. We'll go down here. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 7. This is the Lord speaking, quote, "I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things." And we're gonna dig deeper than this, so don't worry. We're gonna dig a lot deeper in this. So right now, listen, there is a lot of things happening right now. What you're seeing on your screen right now is a headline. We shared this morning. And this is from the BBC News. Quote, "The world is facing formidable challenges, including COVID, the war in Ukraine, and monkeypox." Again, this is a warning from the World Health Organization that just came out with this warning. Let me read a little bit of this. "The world is facing formidable challenges, including COVID, war, monkeypox." Again, this was from the head of the World Health Organization. More than 80 cases, and it's actually more than that now, being confirmed in Europe, the U.S., Canada, Australia, and Israel, of this exploding, and we're going to get all into this monkeypox, and it's expanded now to 15 nations. Although the risk to wider public is said to be low, this is still something that, again, the Bible would classify as pestilence or plagues. I don't want to get too much in this, but again, the head of the World Health Organization is warning that I'm just going to kind of sum this up for you. It's one thing to have COVID that's been around, circulating, surfacing, reemerging, dying down, coming back up for the last 3 years. Then we have the war in Ukraine, which was the stone that fell in the lake, and the ripple effects of that is now what? Somebody talk to me. Famine, shortages, inflation. Then now we have a quote unquote another plague that has surfaced. So we're going to get a little bit deeper into this, and I want to show you some stuff about this. So listen to me. We have two pestilences, or quote unquote plagues, that are now gripping and have now come to the shores of the United States alone. And even out, not just, let me go back and correct that. We have two pestilences or plagues that are not only in the United States, that's what I meant to say, not only in the United States alone, but even outside of that. And that is this, and I quote, "rare monkeypox and this, quote, mystery hepatitis outbreak. Again, monkeypox and mystery hepatitis outbreak. The World Health Organization is reportedly convening an emergency meeting over this monkeypox.
All right, on to monkeypox now. Those cases are causing concern among the global health experts. The World Health Organization is reporting more than 90 cases of the illness, which is rarely seen outside of Africa, in 12 countries beyond the continent, including here in the U.S. So here to discuss this is Dr. Donald Vinn. He's an infectious disease physician and medical microbiologist with the McGill University Health Center. Great to see you. Thanks for joining us this morning. So let's talk about this. Monkeypox, it sounds concerning. And we've all seen the pictures online of the people with the bumps and so on and so forth. And I think, you know, you can't help but to have a reaction. How concerned should we be, though, about another potentially deadly virus spreading across the U.S.?
Well, I think we have to just take a step back here. I think we're going to have two levels of concern. You know, first and foremost, as you mentioned before, monkeypox is essentially rare or unheard of in North America. And because it's a new virus and it's causing this new outbreak, obviously there should be concern at the level of the medical and scientific community. We need to make sure that, you know, the at-risk people are aware of what to look out for. We need to make sure that the medical community is educated of what to look out for and how to test for it. And the scientific community also needs to be able to do, you know, some understanding of what's going on with the virus and why it's circulating and how it's circulating. Mm-hmm. But at the level of the general public, though, I'm not sure we're at the concern where people should have any sort of sense of anxiety, certainly no sense of panic. I don't think we need to be in the sort of hoarding response stage that we saw with COVID.
Are there any clues as to, you know, why we're seeing this outbreak now, you know, in other countries where it typically doesn't show up?
Well, you know, it is certainly concerning when you have more than 100 cases spanning at least 11 countries. We're obviously very early in the data acquisition phase of trying to figure out how all these cases are epidemiologically linked. But at least what we've seen so far is that right now it seems to be related to, you know, discrete individuals. Right now it seems to be only in men who are affected. And it may be related to a common activity. And then, of course, those activities are not necessarily related to each other. They may be, you know, related to a common point source or a common exposure. That's not entirely clear. And that's what the scientific community is trying to figure out in parallel. Why all these cases at the same time? Are they related? Unfortunately, we don't have all those answered yet.
You know, the president mentioned a vaccine, possibly even the effectiveness of the smallpox vaccine against monkeypox. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Well, as we know, smallpox was eradicated in 1980, but as a consequence of its effective effort, the smallpox vaccine actually stopped being routinely used both in Canada and in the U.S. around like 1972. So that means that there's a large proportion of the population actually that hasn't had the smallpox vaccine, which is fine because it was eradicated. Mm-hmm. But the smallpox vaccine actually gives you a cross protection against monkeypox somewhere to the order of about 85%. And so because it's that effective and because smallpox vaccines have, you know, shown to be quite safe in humans, what they may be used for now is sort of a containment strategy around confirmed or suspected cases.
Are there certain populations at greater risk?
Well, you know, right now it's hard to tell. Mm-hmm. Right now it seems to be that people who are, you know, who have been in proximity, and I mean close proximity, either direct contact or within sort of a respiratory distance mm-hmm. from a confirmed or suspected case, right now those are the people who are considered at risk and need to monitor and be vigilant for symptoms and seek medical attention if they do. But it isn't one of those types of viruses that are so well transmitted like COVID, where people in a grocery store can get it. And so right now that's why we need to have different, you know, sort of, you know, layers of concern.
So when should you contact the doctor? Like, say you know that you've been in some sort of contact with somebody with a confirmed case, you're feeling okay. When should you contact a doctor?
So that's a great question. And I think it depends on your symptoms, right? If you have no symptoms, and that means no fever, sore throat, cough, no rash, especially none of these pox or bump lesions, but you heard that you may have been exposed to, or you know you were exposed to somebody who had monkeypox, you should definitely contact your regional, first of all, your physician, your primary care physician, and your regional public health authority. But if you actually do develop symptoms after you have, you know, been within 3 weeks of a confirmed or suspected affect the case. And those symptoms would be, as I mentioned, fever, sore throat, cough, rash, or lymph nodes. Then you should first make sure you are, you know, absolutely isolating yourself. You contact your medical care professional. They should be able to contact the regional public health authority, and then a chain of investigations should be started from there.
Monkeypox cases in Spain and Italy have been traced to an island festival attended by 80,000 partiers. And we're going to get more into that as we go on. According to one publication, The Sun, authorities are trying to halt an outbreak that has exploded across Europe and beyond with 92 cases. That number is probably already outdated at the recording of this or this live, because it just keeps blowing up. Have now been confirmed, and dozens more suspected. Cases of monkeypox in the UK have doubled in just a week after a total of 20 cases were reported. Doctors are warning that the number will rise significantly as the virus spreads through Europe and as far as the US, Canada, and Australia. Spain now has the highest number of infections outside places in Africa, where the virus is endemic, with more than 50 known cases. Now authorities are investigating a festival in Gran Canaria, how you pronounce that, after it was linked with a number of cases in Madrid and Italy. And again, according to reports, the Canaria Pride Festival, held in the town of Maspalomas between May 5th and the 15th, has become a quote hotspot for the monkeypox outbreak. The massive party was attended by over 80,000 people, including three Italian men who later tested positive for the virus. One health source reported that quote, among 30 or so diagnosed in Madrid, there are several who attended this event, although it is not yet possible to know if one of them is patient zero of this outbreak or if they all got infected there. Again, scientists who have monitored numerous outbreaks of monkeypox in Africa say, quote, they are baffled by the disease's recent spread in Europe and North America. You got to pay attention to the verbiage that's being said here. But in the past week, Britain, Spain, Portugal, Italy, the US, Sweden, and Canada all have reported infections. And again, according to reports, Belgium, listen to this, Belgium is now reportedly enforcing quarantine. Oh, really? This again? Yes, Belgium has become the first country to introduce a compulsory 21-day monkeypox quarantine. As 14 countries now confirm outbreaks of the viral disease, and doctors again are warning it's only going to get worse. President Joe Biden chimed in and said he is, quote, concerned about the developments. And by the way, here's an article from PBS.org, and I'm going to give you the headline here, quote, monkeypox outbreak likely spread by sex at two raves in Europe. So they are heavily linking this to sexual immorality. Wow. Listen, if you've been paying attention to what we've been talking about for the last 15 minutes, this is all going to come together. A leading advisor to the World Health Organization described the unprecedented outbreak of the rare, mysterious, unexplained disease, monkeypox, in developed countries as a, quote, random event that might be explained by risky sexual behavior. The Bible calls that sexual immorality, in case you didn't know. In an interview with the Associated Press, Dr. David Heyman, who formerly headed the World Health Organization's Emergencies Department, said the leading theory to explain the spread of this disease was sexual transmission, and I quote, among gay and bisexual men at two raves that were recently held in Spain and Belgium. That is not my theory, not my opinion, and that was not read off a conspiracy blog site. That was from PBS.org and has been echoed by major mainstream news publications. Quote, we know monkeypox can spread when there is, quote, close contact with the lesions of someone who is infected. And it looks like sexual contact has now amplified this transmission. Florida health officials, are you Floridians listening, are investigating a third possible case of this in your state. The World Health Organization is now warning, you ready for this? Here's a shock. They're warning of mass gatherings. And those who come into contact with anyone who has been identified to be infected should automatically, quote, isolate themselves. We call that quarantine ourselves for 21 days. Again, this is from multiple sources. All this is on our main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. I'm going to move on. So we got this monkeypox thing. It's here. It's exploding. It's spreading. And it's echoing the same procedures as the previous pandemic. And look, when I say I'm restraining myself, that's an understatement, because I want to keep this biblical, because I could really go off into some theories and opinions here, and they're going to do nothing but get me in trouble. But listen, I know people think I am blind and I am oblivious to things going on. Listen, I am wide awake. I know what season it is. I know what's coming down the pike. I know what we're close to, and I am not ignorant to these devices and these things. But listen to me, I want you to hear me. So we're not homing in today on the cause, or let me rephrase that. We're not homing in on the author in the flesh realm, or the perpetrator of this. In other words, I'm not going to get into the specifics of, was this man-made? Was this out of a lab? Was this intentional? Who is doing it? Who's behind it? Because ultimately, listen to me, I'm going to say it again. Men can perform it. Satan can perpetrate it, but God ultimately allows it. Let me say that again. Anything like this, obviously, men can perform this. Satan is orchestrating this, but God is permitting this. And I'll get more into that when we get into the judgment of this, the aspect of this. But I got to move on. Another child has officially died in the United States from this, quote, mysterious hepatitis that's still an unknown cause. Now, how long has this been going on? I mean, this has been going on for a while, guys. And scientists, experts, epidemiologists, the World Health Organization, the CDC, all these people that we pay all this money to, and the people look up to for the answers, they can't figure this out. They're stumped. They're perplexed.
A pediatric hepatitis outbreak is growing, causing concern for some parents and medical experts. More U.S. states are investigating cases of kids developing the liver illness without a known cause.
CDC says they have retroactively identified more than 70 new cases dating back to October 2021, a handful of them in just the last 2 weeks. Sarah Hammond spoke to a local parent and has the latest from doctors.
The CDC says it's identified 71 additional mysterious hepatitis cases in children, totaling 180 in the U.S. So far, six children have died, but health experts still don't know what's causing it.
So far, we have not found any common exposures or patterns.
According to Dr. Jay Butler with the CDC, their leading theory is adenovirus. The virus infects the lining of your eyes, lungs, intestines, and nervous system, causing a fever, cough, and sore throat.
While adenovirus will be the main focus, lines of investigation will also be used to examine the role of other infections.
Butler says another theory is COVID-19, but less than 20% of children identified had the virus. But out of the 82% that were tested for adenovirus, more than half of them were positive.
The median age of the 180 kids is 2 years old, and the CDC is encouraging clinicians to consider adenovirus testing in their patients with hepatitis without a known cause.
Alex Kennefic has a 1, 4, and 6-year-old. She says this information leaves her with more questions.
Mostly just wanting to know more so we can do what we can to protect our own kids.
But she says her family isn't going to get too concerned until they know more.
Until we have more information, though, I probably won't necessarily change our behaviors.
So far, 36 states are investigating the mysterious hepatitis. Virginia does have at least one known case, and 13 News Now has reached out to the state's Department of Health for more information, but we have not heard back.
As reported earlier this week, the CDC is now investigating at least 180 cases of severe hepatitis with, quote, unknown cause among children across 36 states. That's in the United States alone and territories, an increase from 109 that were reported earlier this month. And that's just in the United States. And they go on to say this is an ongoing investigation. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about three events that are happening right now. Pestilence, plagues, come on, pestilence, quote, pestilence, plagues, and famines. So we got to talk about famines here for a minute, or famine rather, famine. Look, this is a actual headline here. And what is being deemed a quote seismic event. One expert warns the United Nations that the world has only a 10-week supply of wheat unless global leaders intervene quickly. What are we talking about? Somebody talk to me. Famine. Listen, quote, global food insecurity has reached levels not seen since the financial crisis of 2008, and it's only going to get worse without aggressive intervention. A food insecurity expert recently told the United Nations Security Council this past week, Russia's invasion of Ukraine, quote, did not start a food security crisis, quote, but it did add fuel to a fire that was long burning. This is according to the CEO of GRO Intelligence, a global company that uses artificial intelligence and public and private data to, quote, predict food supply trends. She went on to say, quote, this is not cyclical. Let me say that to the back row of all the naysayers and the unbelievers who, anytime a watchman comes on and warns of these things, they always say, you're a fearmonger. You're just blabbering hyperbole because this is all cyclical. These events are cyclical. Well, let me give you the quote from the CEO of this. Quote, this global food shortage, this wheat shortage, this famine that we're experiencing on a global scale is, quote, not cyclical. So get mad at her, not just me. Quote, this is seismic. She said this during a special meeting of the UN Security Council. Quote, even if the war were to end tomorrow, our food security problem, let me say it again. Quote, even if the war were to end tomorrow, our food security problems is not going away anytime soon without concerted action. Before the Russia-Ukraine conflict began, the two countries supplied a combined one-third of the world's wheat exports and were in the top five exports of corn. You couple this with the widespread fertilizer shortages, supply chain issues, record droughts, and the world has roughly 10 weeks worth of wheat on hand. And she went on to say, quote, without aggressive global actions, we stand on the very risk of an extraordinary amount of human suffering and economic damage. Now, this is not coming from a prophet. This is not coming from a watchman. This is coming, again, from an expert in these events that was just talking about this at a meeting with the UN. The United Nations Security Council. So what are we talking about today? I'm telling you now, I'm going to get back to the Bible. We've been in the Word, but we're jumping around here. We're getting to it here. Let's go to the book of Ezekiel. I'm going to pull this up on a screen here. This is Ezekiel chapter 5, verses 15 and 17. Ezekiel 5, 15 and 17. Now, again, most of the when you read these accounts in the Old Testament, God was focusing on the nation of Israel. But listen to me, the warnings that are given to the nation of Israel echo the same warnings to other nations. I'm going to show you that when we get to Deuteronomy and Leviticus. But let me read this, Ezekiel 5, 15 and 17. So it shall be a reproach, a taunt, a lesson, and an astonishment to the nations that are all around you. When I execute judgments among you in anger and in fury and in furious rebukes, I, the Lord, have spoken. When I send against them, listen to this, when I send against them the terrible arrows of what? Famine, which shall be for destruction. Which I will send to destroy you. I will increase the famine upon you and cut off your supply of bread. Hello. So, verse 17, so I will send against you famine and wild beast. Somebody say wild beast, because we're going to get to that in this segment as well. And they will brave you. Pestilence. Wow. And blood shall pass through you, and I will bring the sword against you. That's war. I, the Lord, have spoken. Well, brother, that's the Old Testament, and that's the Old Covenant. And the God I serve is a happy God, and he's a loving God, and he never gets angry, and he never judges, and he never rebukes, and he never corrects, and he never does any of these things anymore. Let's read on Amos 4, 7 and 9. We'll get to that in a minute. Amos 4, 7 and 9. God says, quote, I also withheld rain from you. Who withheld the rain? God. When there was still 3 months to the harvest, I made it rain on one city and I withheld rain from another city. Have you ever wondered how one part of the country, it's like brass heavens, and on another side of the country, they're just blessed, and they're getting amounts of rain that they need. They're getting the sunshine they need. They're getting everything they need. I made it rain in one city, but I withheld from another city. One part was rained upon, and where it did not rain, the part withered. Do you know that's happening right now in America? There's places in America that are suffering famines and droughts. and I'll let you do some investigative research on what the possible causes of that could be. What kind of laws and decisions could be being passed in those cities? So two or three cities wandered to another city to drink water. Guys, listen, let me pull this back for a second. Don't think that we couldn't see water wars right here in the United States of America. Listen, there is major reservoirs and water supplies that are drying up. And they're warning in places like the West that if they don't get a significant amount of rainfall, then it could be catastrophic. And we could see what we call water wars in the United States of America. Is that not what it said? Listen, let me pull that back up. So two or three cities wandered to another city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet, look at this, guys. God, you got to hear this. Yet you have not returned to me. How plain do we need this? God is saying, if you'll just repent and you'll turn back to me, I can bring the rain. I can stop the famine. I can hold back the pestilence. I can bring a reprieve. I can bring blessing. I can open the windows of heaven. Verse 9, I blasted you with blight and mildew when your gardens increased, your vineyards, your fig trees, and your olive trees. The locusts devoured them. Pestilence. Yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. Are you hearing me today? Ezekiel 7, 14 and 15. Ezekiel 7, 14, 15. They have blown the trumpet and made everyone ready, but no one goes to battle. My goodness, if that doesn't echo this, what is happening right now, if that doesn't speak volumes of where we're at right now, quote, they have blown the trumpet and made everyone ready, but no one goes to battle. How many watchmen have to sound the alarm? How many modern day men and women of God who hear from God, who have sounded the alarm? We've blown the trumpets. We've said, look at what's happening. And we've warned you. And we've tried to shake you and try to get you ready. But what does this say? It says they've blown the trumpet, but no one is ready to go to battle. There's such apathy and complacency and mocking that's happening in the body of Christ. No one, many of the watchmen has become echoes. Let me go back to this. They have blown the trumpet and made everyone ready, but no one goes to battle. Listen to this. For my wrath is on all their multitude. The sword is outside, and look what's on the inside. What is this? Now think about the sword. Let me talk to America. I'm talking to every American. Listen to me. The sword is outside. There's war, but it's outside of America. It's happening in Ukraine. Most of you don't care because it's not happening on the inside and it's happening on the outside. But listen to this. He says the sword or war is outside, but look what's on the inside. Look what's in your neck of the woods. Look what's coming knocking at your door. Ready? Pestilence and famine within. And that's what's here. That's what's coming. That's what's going to get worse. Quote, whoever's in the field will die by the sword, and whoever's in the city, famine and pestilence will devour him. You say, well, my goodness, Brother Ricky, this is just not good news. Well, you're going to have to stick around and wait till tomorrow's message, because I'm going to do a sequel to this, and I'm going to give you the encouraging side of this. I'm not going to leave you hanging, so you got to stay tuned tomorrow. But let me get to this. Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26. Ready? Again, this is Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26. Quote, this is Deuteronomy 28, verses 21 through 24. before I get to this, you go get your Bible, open it up and read it. And God says to the nations, not just a nation, any nation that heeds his word, obeys his commandments, and do what he's called us to do. Just be obedient to his word. He says, I will bless you. I'll make you the head and not the tail, and above and not beneath. You'll lend and not borrow. You'll own and not rent. You will be blessed coming in and blessed going out. I'll bless you in the city, bless you in the field, bless you in the country. Everything you lay your hand to do shall prosper. And he goes on. He's all these blessings will come upon you. And he says, watch this. But if you do not obey the Lord, you despise his word, despise his commandments. And listen, you turn to idolatry. You begin to do what is evil in his sight. Remember that? 1 Corinthians at the opening of this, you begin to go the way of those in the past. Watch this. Here's what he says, quote, in verse 21, the Lord will make the plague cling to you until he has consumed you from the land which you're going to possess. Verse 22, the Lord will strike you with consumption, with fever, and with inflammation. That kind of sounds like some of this crazy stuff that's happening. With severe burning fever, with the sword, with scorching, and with mildew, they shall pursue you until you perish. And your heavens, which are over you and over your head, shall be bronze, no rain. And the earth which is under you shall be iron. In other words, it's not producing crops. It's not producing a harvest. The Lord will change the rain of your land to powder and dust. We could see another dust bowl like we had in history. From the heaven, it shall come down on you until you are destroyed. That's Deuteronomy 28, verses 21 and 24. Then he goes to Leviticus 26, 18 and 22. Same thing, blessing for obedience. If not, listen to what he says. He says, if you don't obey, and before I get to this, I'm going to talk about this for a second, because I told you I'd come back to this. Now, how does God bring judgment? Well, first, before we get to that, let's talk about this. If you go to the book of Job, you'll see where there's this dialogue between Satan, the angels of God that were with him, and the Lord. In this dialogue, they were discussing the blessings that were on Job's life. Read it. Go read the book of Job. And in this dialogue, Satan acknowledges that God has put a hedge around everything that Job has. He's blessed his finances. He's blessed his family. He's blessed his marriage. He's blessed his children. He's blessed his health. And God has put this hedge, and I believe it was angels around everything that he has. And everything he did, he prospered and he was blessed in. And Satan was envious of this. He was jealous of this. And he sought out to attack or condemn Job. And he tells God, if you will remove the hedge and let me touch him, that's what the Bible says. Let me touch his finances. The Bible, let me give you a more stronger word than touch. Satan said, let me attack his finances and he'll curse you to your face. Let me attack his family. Let me attack his marriage. Let me attack his children. Let me attack his possessions. So there, and God says, all right, first of all, God, we find out in Job chapter 1 that Satan had to seek permission before he could touch anything of Job's life, number one. Number two, when Satan performed these attacks on Job, you'll discover that God had to lift his hedge off of Job in order for Satan to prevail against him in those areas. What's those principles? What is Brother Ricky talking about today? I'm telling you, listen, the judgment of God, if I was to make an illustration of this, is simply this. It's the removal of God's hand of blessing upon an individual or upon a nation that permits or gives access granted to Satan, the destroyer, the thief that is to come to kill, steal, and destroy, right? That gives him access to come against an individual or a nation. What am I trying to tell you? As a nation, because we're speaking about nations today, not individuals. As a nation, any country that goes in the way of Israel when they defied God, turned against God, turned to other gods, and turned to idolatry, evil, wickedness, sexual immorality, abominations, and these other things, when they did that, it angered the Lord, and God had no choice but to remove his hand of protection and blessing and prosperity off of those nations, and it allowed free reign for Satan to come and have his way. Are you hearing me today? So in there, in the book of Egypt, you read that God sent these plagues against Pharaoh. Why did he do that? Because Pharaoh refused to obey the word of Moses, which is ultimately the word of the Lord. God raised up Moses to be a voice. What did he do? He sent him into Egypt, and he said he had a message to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. But because of the hardness of Pharaoh's heart and his defiance against God, God had no choice but to say, all right. And he released his blessing or withheld his blessing. I don't really believe it, and be technical, I don't believe much of the blessing was even on Egypt to begin with, because they had multiple gods. Are you hearing me? So this is why you see other countries that are always going through, you know, droughts and famines and poverty and destruction. If you study it out and discover, you'll discover that they don't even serve the Lord God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is not their God. This is the case with India. This is the case with many countries outside of the United States that you see a lot of, you got a lot of Hinduism, and you got a lot of mysticism, and you got a lot of these false gods and deities, and it's bringing poverty and destruction and famine and desolation to these nations. So again, the reason why, and I don't want to get into this message, tomorrow's message, I'll show you, I'm going to prove to you, and I'm going to show you why America is still standing tomorrow, not today, but tomorrow I'm going to show you that. Let me go back to this. Let me go back to Leviticus 26. Look at this. So God says, if you don't obey me and you begin to turn to idolatry and wickedness and sexual immorality and all these things that are abomination, and you still don't repent. I said, you still don't repent. How long have we been shedding innocent blood in America? How long are we going to continue to commit abominations and legalize abominations in America? How long are we going to continue to put our stamp of approval on individuals who are continually to endorse this, basically shaking their fist at the God of heaven? Listen what he says in verse 18. This is Leviticus 26, 18 and 22. And after all this, if you do not obey me, then I will punish you seven times more. So listen to me real clear. I know this is not popular, and I'll get the messages, and I'll be called the fearmonger, and I'll be called the person who's taking scripture out of context, and God doesn't do that in the Old Testament as he does in the New Testament, all that stuff. I get it all the time. It's nothing new. But listen to me. What we're seeing now is only going to get worse if we, as a nation, do not repent and turn back to God. Listen, he says, I'll punish you seven times more for your sins. Listen, I will break the pride of your power. I know you were the superpower of the world at one time, America, but we are not anymore. That's a fact. I will make your heavens like iron and your earth like bronze. Hello, famine. And your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield its produce, nor shall the trees of the land yield their fruit. Then. So all this stuff, break the pride of your power, famine, shortages. He says, then if you walk contrary to me, if you still don't repent and are not willing to obey me, I will bring on you seven times more plagues. So we won't just have COVID. We won't just have monkeypox. We won't just have a mystery hepatitis. We're going to see crazy stuff. And by the way, the word pestilences or pestilence in the Greek is actually the definition by Greek is a plague leading unto death. Listen, what does he say here in verse 21? It's right there on your screen. Then if you walk contrary to me and are not willing to obey me, I will bring on you seven times more plagues according to your sins. Verse 22, I will also send wild beast among you, which shall rob you of your children, destroy your livestock, and make you few in number. What in the world is he talking about here? Listen. I believe that we're going to see mysterious plagues that are going to be stemmed from wild beasts, and they're going to increase even more so. Hello, like swine flu, like bird flu, like E. coli, like the ongoing spreading tick disease, that people are getting bit by these ticks and it's spreading across America. And when you get bitten by these ticks, it gives you an allergic reaction or an allergy against eating red meat. Bubonic plague. Birds mysteriously dropping dead. And they still can't figure out what's going on. And the list goes on and on and on. What am I talking about? The beast of the field, plagues, pestilence, famine. Look at this. What does he say here? And your highways shall be desolate. Friends, listen. I'm going to tell you what can make highways desolate. You get and up in upstate in Washington, they're already preparing their gas pumps for $10 a gallon gas. You want to see highways become desolate? Let the price of a gallon of gas go to $7 a gallon, $8 a gallon, $9 a gallon, $10 a gallon. I'm telling you, the highways will become desolate because ain't nobody going to be able to afford to go anywhere. They're not going to be able to afford to go to work. You can forget about vacations, and the highways will become desolate. Now, what am I talking about today? I'm telling you, listen, this is not an exciting word to me. This is nothing to shout about. This is nothing to jump around about. This is nothing to say hallelujah, praise God, thank you, Jesus about. In fact, in my flesh, I didn't even want to talk about this. But I have to. We, as a watchman, I am responsible to reveal to you and show you. And I believe not, I am not 99% sure. I am 100% convinced that we are seeing the judgment of God in this nation, and not just this nation, but now it's going global. Because listen, sins and abominations are spreading like a cobweb. They're spreading like a web, and they are going global to the four corners of the earth. And it's just like the Bible said it would happen, as it were in the days of Noah. Violence, wickedness, evil intentions, as it were in the days of Lot. Immorality, sexual immorality, perversion, abundance of idleness, not extending their hand to the poor, self-centered, full of idolatry and idleness. We are seeing this on a global scale. And guys, it is storing up the wrath of God to be poured out. We, again, are on the very brink of what I call, listen, we're seeing the judgment of God, but when you go from the judgment of God to the wrath of God, we're talking about two different, entirely different things. And I believe in all my heart that what is going to lead us up to the great tribulation is when men refuse to repent. Go and read the book of Revelation. When we get into the tribulation, we get into the great tribulation, you'll see in there, and you'll read about where men will begin to shake their fist at the God of heaven. And it says in it there, it says right in there in the Bible, they refused to repent of their sorceries, repent of their wickedness, repent of their transgressions. And my friends, you tell me we're not in that. You tell me that we are not storing up for the wrath of God. I believe we're seeing the judgment of God, and this will continue. And if we don't see a national repentance and turning back to God, we are headstrong heading towards the very things that God prophesied. But, and you say, where's the good news in this? You're going to have to join me tomorrow. We're going to pick right up on this tomorrow. We're going to go right into tomorrow's message, and I'm going to show you right there from the Word of God that if you are a blood-bought, born-again, covenant believer with the Lord Jesus Christ, then it is good news for you. And just as God made a separation between those who knew him and those who didn't, those who served him and those who didn't, just like it, there was light in Goshen and there was darkness in Egypt, I'm telling you, God is going to do it again, and he is doing it again. And I'm going to prove that to you in tomorrow's segment. So until then, guys, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Again, do not forget to download our free app if you've not yet done it. Download it today. It's available on Apple. It's available on Android. Push yes to push notifications. You'll be notified of every news, every headline, and every new podcast that come right there at your fingertips, that you can both watch or listen or both at your leisure. And again, that's going to be at our free app. If you're listening today, again, that's at your Apple Store or your Google Play Store. Just type in End Time Headlines. Look for our official ETH logo. Download that app today. Get it into your hands and be blessed by it today. And as always, guys, we want to give you an opportunity. Again, this ministry operates out of the partnership and support of viewers just like you. We do not charge for messages. We don't charge for the app. We don't charge for subscription fees. We don't charge any of that. We just ask if this ministry is a source of blessing, encouragement, edification, and information on a weekly basis to you and your family, please pray about becoming a monthly partner. You could do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app right there on your screen at the bottom of the app, or through the main website if you don't have the app yet. Or you can give right there by check or money order at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, and that's Monroe, Georgia 30655. As always, guys, thank you so much for taking the time today to be a part of our live broadcast or by the rebroadcast or however you may be watching this today or whatever platform it is. Again, don't forget to share this to others. Don't forget to hit the bells and the push notifications for those that are watching by Rumble or YouTube so that you can be notified when we upload those on our archives there as well. So until we see you tomorrow, friends, may the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you in Jesus' name. God bless you guys. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.